Well, hey, my name's Kurt Gensel. I am one of the new pastors on staff at H&W. I'm the teaching pastor here, and I have the privilege of being here with a new friend today. His name's Robert Udo. Robert is a member at Houston Northwest Church. He's been here for 7 years. He is a co-leader of a life group, invest in a lot of people in this community. And I'm very grateful to have the opportunity to talk to him today. So welcome, Robert. Good to have you, man.
Thank you. I'm glad and excited to be here.
Yeah, man. Robert is by trade a realtor, correct?
Yes.
And he also, just a fun fact, Robert is a podcaster himself. He has his own podcast, which is called
A View from the Pew. It's a video podcast on YouTube.
That's awesome. Very cool. You guys go check that out once we finish up here today. So we are in a season at H&W where we are hoping to tell the stories of 52 people in our church over the next year who have experienced life change in a relationship with Jesus. And so we know Robert, and we know that he's experienced that personally. And so we wanted the opportunity to talk about it. So before we dive into that big question, Robert, for those who don't know you, tell us a little bit about yourself, stuff that I haven't shared quite yet.
Well, my name is Kufre Robert Udo. Robert actually happens to be my middle name.
Awesome.
It's a Nigerian name. And I'm a Christian. That's how I identify myself. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I've been a Christian for quite a significant period of time. I do not have a moment where I can pinpoint and say this is the exact moment that I became a Christian. Mine was a gradual process. I professed Christ and confessed Him over and over again. And then over as time proceeded, I noticed that the way I processed information was different from the way I used to process it. I could identify with what's written in the Word. I could understand the Word. And as a Christian, it's just a sweet feeling when He says in the Scriptures that one is to be sanctified by the Word of God, and one sanctification is the truth of the Word. I'm experiencing that, and it's sweet.
That's awesome. So I think sometimes people out in the rest of the world, they look in at Christianity and the idea that we can change or that transformation is a possibility, and they're kind of cynical about it, and they, you know, maybe may not think it's possible. I say out in the world, that's true of probably a lot of people in the church as well, who maybe have been struggling with something for a long time or hope to see transformation and hadn't had a chance to see it yet. And so I think it's important to hear stories of experiences people have had inside the church. So if you would, tell us about your story. Walk us through where you've seen God transform you from the inside out.
Okay, my story starts quite a while back. I grew up in Nigeria. I'm Nigerian. My parents are Nigerian. I'm American on paper. I was born in the United States, but I left when I was very young, 5 years old. And when I was in high school, our dad wanted to teach us to be more eloquent in our reading. And so early in the mornings, he would have us read the Scriptures in the morning. But it wasn't from a Christian biblical standpoint. It was from the standpoint of, I want you to be able to read better when called upon to read. And so when I graduated high school, when I graduated college, I snuck into my dad's room, stole my passport, and just headed to the U.S. because my friends have all of a sudden at the same moment, there's a place in the book of Acts where it says he decides the time and places where people are born. I was the only one in my family born in the United States. And so I believe it's by divine design. And so I snuck into his room, stole my passport because my friends had said, hey, you're American. All you have to do is just show up at the airport and they'll take care of you because you're American. That's how naive I was. But a friend of mine was visiting and he said, no, it doesn't work that way. Come and stay with me. And so you see the kind of son I was, disobedient to my parents. In very short order, I got into a lot of trouble, fell on drugs. And it was during those times when I was on those drug binges and during those times that those words that we read early in the mornings came and rescued me. There's a place in the Scriptures where it says he sent his word to get them. And I experienced that experientially. Because when I was going through the challenging times with the drug addictions and all, there was nobody I could call on. All I could call on was him. Like I heard a saying, there are no atheists in foxholes, is the kind of thing that I went through. And so his word did prove to be true. The transformation that took place in my life is one that's ongoing and still going, which is, if I call on him, he will answer. And he's made that promise. His word is true. It's sure. Everything he says is true. And we have a book. The Bible is the only book written in past, present, and future. Jesus talks about knowing where he's coming, where he comes from, knowing where he's going. It's just, it's something you can hardly put into words, but it's something I would tell everyone.
Yeah. So tell me real quick. That's awesome, man. Thank you for that. Tell me, if you were to give someone advice who like may be in one of those dark places in life, like the one you found yourself in, what advice would you give them? Like, how would you instruct them to proceed in that moment?
I would tell them to call out to him. Mm-hmm. I would tell them to call out to their creator, like I did, like anyone else should do. I'll tell them that there is no other way, that in his written word, he says, he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come up to the Father except through him. And even if you do make it out of perceived trouble, if you do it without his name, you're still in trouble. You're still in trouble. There's no comfort in this world outside of him. So I would advise them, and I would pray wholeheartedly that they will come to the knowledge of who he is. Read the book of John, the New Testament book of John, which incidentally we're walking through as a church, hnw.org/Bible. Read the New Testament book of John. In the 20th chapter of that book, it says these are written so that you'll believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And by so believing, you will have eternal life. So the book is an apologetic. It proves that he's the Son of God. And it's also evangelistic. The third chapter of that book says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So the price that has been paid for you is so high. God himself died for you. The scriptures say, we were not redeemed by perishable material like gold or silver, but by the precious blood of a lamb. Now, that which is flesh, and that which is spirit, so it's very hard for the flesh to comprehend this. But if you want to look at it logically, if you don't accept Jesus Christ as Lord, you're telling God you have some other alternative way that will get you into his good graces. There's no way man can reach up all the way into heaven. Heaven had to step down and give you a free gift because you cannot make it to God on your own. And that's what I would tell that person in a dark place. And I would pray, and I'm thankful that somebody told me that. So reach out to the Lord Jesus Christ, call upon his name, and he will hear you and he will save you.
That's awesome, man. I'm hearing you talk a lot about scripture and the process of navigating through some transformation that was needed in your life. It played a big role in that. So if you could talk us through a little bit of, I guess, the role that scripture's played in your life in helping you become more like Jesus. And also just some tips, tricks, encouragements towards people who maybe are a little bit intimidated by scripture and just need help on that front.
Okay. Yeah. The scriptures, they're your guide. The scriptures themselves say the word is a light onto a path, and that's how you walk. It's a guide. It's your guide. A place in the scriptures where it's the very food that you eat. Jesus said, Father, sanctify them. And he says, sanctify them with your truth, and your word is truth. The truth is one of the most valuable commodities there is. So you have to look at something that you need some authority outside of yourself. And the authority that's been given is the word of God. The Bible says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So it's a very practical book. And when I use the scriptures, and I can live, there's no scenario in which I cannot use the scriptures as a paradigm or a premise by which I will use to make the decisions that I would make. So if you see a husband and wife arguing, for instance, you'll see them slinging accusations at each other, and they're the two principal, when they come to me or my friends come to me in conversation type mode and say this is a challenge that they're dealing with. One of the tricks I always use is to throw the third person in. So usually if you see two people arguing, they are looking at two principal characters, but there's a third principal character, and that's the Holy Spirit. The tenor of the conversation changes when you introduce that third person. For instance, the scriptures say, let's say I was having a husband and wife are arguing, and they start accusing one another. But once you throw in the scriptures, it'll tell you not to accuse. And then you'll open your ears more. Or it will tell you to forgive. Love covers a multitude of sins. It changes the tenor of the conversation. And also there's a fourth party that I didn't mention, which is you do have an enemy for your soul. And he whispers, he's the accuser of the brethren. He could whisper in one person's ear that the other is doing something that they are not doing. He's a liar. The scriptures tell us about him. And when he speaks lies, he speaks his native tongue. So I would just encourage people to always be aware of the word of God. It is your armor. It is your everything. Its beauty and its depth are incomprehensible. God himself says he is looking after his word to perform it. He also said, every word that goes from his mouth, Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall be my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return unto me void, but will accomplish that for which I've sent it. So I would encourage people, just keep reading the scriptures. And when you don't know the scriptures, like you might not know, it took me a while to know it to the level I know it now. But the scriptures themselves say, if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you love one another, you love others, you will fulfill everything that's written in the book. So start with love. Let that be your default setting.
That's a good word. I remember when I was younger, I had a mentor who told me that you want to be a person who doesn't just come to the word lightly, but you actually marinate yourself or marinate your life in the word. And that resonates with me. I'm a barbecuer and spend a lot of time on the grill. And when you marinate something, it actually changes the flavor. It's radically different. But you only get there if you really just let it sit there and sit there and sit there. And it changes the whole thing from the outside in. And so I think that's what scripture is supposed to do to us. It's supposed to change us.
Amen.
And I love what you were talking about when you've got multiple characters involved that are beyond just you and the person that you're having conflict with. And we got to make sure we're listening to the right one.
Yes, sir.
And so if we don't know the word, if we're not familiar with it, those situations become a lot more difficult because lies, or I guess our enemy is a good liar. He's pretty skilled at it. So that's great, man. Very good. Well, before we finish up, I just wanted to give you a chance, if you had anything else that was just on your heart, to share with people who are hoping for transformation in their life. I'd love for you to share that. Just as an encouragement for those folks.
I would say start out with who Jesus Christ is, the person of Jesus Christ. You have to make that determination. It's so urgent. The information is so urgent that you really have to make a choice as to who he is, whether he is the Son of God, accept the fact that he died for your sins or not. You take enough time to plan for a vacation. Reading the New Testament book of John would just take, it's about 20, 30 pages. When you look at what hangs in the balance, it's in your best interest to make a determination as to whether he is the Son of God or not. Then the other thing is the Word of God. There's so many promises associated and tied with it. It's like Psalm 1 says, blessed is the one who does not sit in the seat of scorners or associate with the wicked, but they meditate upon the word of God day and night. That person will be like a tree planted by the rivers, yielding fruit in season. Whatsoever you do will prosper. Not so the wicked, they'll be like chaff, blown away. So God himself makes a promise to you. Can you imagine what it takes for you to talk to God himself? Even the apostle John says, oh, what it is to be called children of God. And that's what we are. He said it in amazement. The scriptures say God dwells in unapproachable light. He's so holy you can't come near him. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, you can now go boldly before his throne and receive grace in time of need. Whatever it is that you think you're trying to get, because you know, yes, you're accountable and there's a God that you're supposed to follow. The original act of mankind was disobedience. Noun is a chance for you to become obedient. And look at the world we live in. Look at the death. Look at everything that you deal with. You should know by now, man cannot be God. And when you reject Jesus Christ, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to be God. So don't be like your foreparents. Become born again, because that's what happens when a person accepts Jesus Christ. Become a new creation, a new creature, and watch a whole new world open to you.
That's beautiful. Thank you, ma'am. I want to make sure that everybody knows who's listening today that if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I want to echo everything that Robert just said, that God's reaching out to you. He wants a relationship with you. He wants you to be his son or daughter. And if you're interested in that, if you would say, this is new to me, or I don't know God. I don't know a whole lot about God even. We would love just to give you the opportunity to reach out to us and have that conversation. And so really simply, if you would just text "Know Jesus" to this number, 281-946-6500. We'll reach out to you and we'll have that conversation, because like Robert said, it's the most important one you'll ever have. So anyway, Robert, thank you so much for being with me today. So grateful. We can tell that you podcast because you're very good at this, my friend. But we can also tell that you love God a lot. And I'm very grateful for the time with you today, man. Thanks.
You're welcome, Pastor. Thank you for having me, sir.
Awesome, man. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the H&W podcast today. If you'd like more information about our church, please visit our website at hnw.org. At H&W, we want you to feel right at home, which is why our vision is making Houston look more like heaven by helping Houstonians become more like Jesus.